This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. This episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future is sponsored by Jenny Becknell. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Plans, Hope, and a Future. I hope this podcast finds you well. We're so excited that you are here. I am excited about our guest today. It is someone I have been acquainted with. We don't travel, I don't think, in the same circles, but we had met once before many years ago at Crossroads Church. She is a podcaster doing a new podcast called Chasing the Carrot. She is known as the Bee Coach, which is life coaching and business coaching. And she is addressing through the Chasing the Carrot, her what she calls herself, and that is a love addict. So welcome to the show, Christine Bennell. How are you?
Hi, Jen. I'm awesome. How are you?
I am doing great. You are down in Florida, and you said you were having some storms tonight. So
yeah, that's just typical St. Pete for you. The storms come in, and usually they blow out, you know, within an hour. So yeah, I thought I was going to be on my screen, but our wireless shut down.
Yeah, your Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Wi-Fi. So thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you tonight.
Oh yeah. Thank you. I'm glad that you're here. I'm excited about what our conversation will reveal about some of the insights and things that you've gained both in your life coaching and business coaching, and also in you are writing a book and doing a podcast on Chasing the Carrot. And I read some of the excerpts from that you had out there, and I thought it was really super interesting. So, I think it's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about your life coaching and your business coaching.
Well, I come out of the agency world. So I worked for LPK and Interbrand, which are two brand agencies in Cincinnati. And so I moved down to Florida when I got engaged and started working for a company called Aveda down here in St. Petersburg. And pretty much once, and this is kind of where Chasing the Carrot and the story starts, is once my fiance and I broke up, I made kind of this 180, and I decided, you know, I really wanted to do the things that I was built for. I raised my daughter on my own, so I always worked really hard because I had to support my daughter. But in this kind of change in my life, in this 180, I realized that when I wasn't honoring who I really was, it caused stress, and it caused me to work harder and harder. And at some point, when you continue to work that hard and you're not living on purpose, the return on the investment dwindles eventually.
Yeah.
And so when I made this change, not just with, ending the engagement, at that time I decided I really wanted to start doing something that I was built for. And coaching was something that I was always interested in. I'd been studying personal development for 20 years. And not only that, to be transparent, because I was a single mom, I started seeing a therapist when I was probably like around 25. I was navigating a divorce at that time. And my brother and sister lived abroad, and my parents were divorced, and my friends were all being 20-year-olds. And so I didn't know how to be a great mom, and I had gone back to school. I didn't know how to move, you know, take care of her and do everything that I needed to do and stay sane. So very young, I started to see therapists, and I really read self-help books, and I ended up starting to go to personal development seminars in Cincinnati, and I was fascinated by the human spirit. I've always been a believer. So even, you know, in my faith, I always could feel that sense of wholeness when I was practicing my faith, so to speak. So the whole point is when I made this 180, I just started down the coaching kind of path and got certified and ended up earning about 5 certifications and then started speaking. And then every year now I hold the annual vision workshop in downtown Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And that's why, your good friend Kelly was one of the table leaders.
Yep.
So anyhow, I think that was a really long way to answer your question.
Boy, that had to be super challenging at 25 to be a single mom and navigating a divorce. I'm not even sure how you begin to even unravel that. So it was quite insightful of you to go into counseling.
Well,
And
you
to
know, my yeah, thank you for acknowledging that. I did not want to go. I think my mom really saw that I was struggling, and she's like, "Why don't you see a therapist?" I'm like, "No way. That's so uncool." And she offered to, I think, maybe pay for the first session. She's like, "Just try it, you know." And from that first time, I really felt some relief, and I felt like, and I knew I needed to divorce my daughter's father, and I needed help with that. So anyhow, it wasn't, when you're in one of, and I'm sure you've gone through this too. I think most people do. When you're faced with a really big challenge, you don't have a choice. It's just like,
right.
you dig in and you just do the next thing and then the next thing, and slowly God, leads you to where it is that you're destined to go. But
Yeah, so speaking of God and your journey, how did you come to faith? Were you brought up in the church? Did you come to faith in adulthood? Like, share a little bit about that.
well, we were Catholic, and I don't know if that's all I need to say. But so we, went to church, 4 or 5 times a year. The Bible was never cracked open in our home, so I knew really nothing of the Bible. I just, heard, what I heard in church, and we had to go to CCD. I don't know if you've ever heard that
I do,
acronym.
yes. And I've been to
Okay.
CCD classes, so
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, and we were a little bit mischievous. I mean, there was, I had siblings, and then once my sister could drive, then there was some neighbors and there were siblings there, so 6 of us would pile in a car, and a lot of times we'd skip CCD. I mean, it wasn't good. None of us liked it. And so when I really to answer your question, I always believed, but I didn't have a relationship with God or with Christ in a way that I do now. So once I had my daughter, and I went through that divorce, I wanted to go back to church. I didn't know that's where my faith would start getting stronger, but that's where I just felt this peace by returning to church and taking her and just sitting there for an hour and just as an adult really appreciating it, if that makes sense. And I always did BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, but honestly, it's really interesting is, you mentioned at the beginning, the love addiction, and that's something that I'd never heard of in my life until I was kind of going through this for the last time after a really tumultuous 8 years with my fiance. I was on the phone with a therapist, and in fact, I was looking into doing an, not it's not an intercession. What is it when like you've got someone in the family and you want people to come
An
to
intervention?
thank you. I
Yep.
knew that I knew part of the word there, but I was looking for somebody else. I was concerned about a family member, and I was like, I need to do something here. And ironically, I started calling around actually the whole US to really find the best. And someone on the other line mentioned that word, and my whole body, it was like a visceral reaction. And I'm like, what is that? I've never even heard of that. And I was 49 years old by this time. And when they started like describing it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, that's like everything just started to unlock. It was like that made sense for the divorce and why I had walked away from another wedding and I had broken up on an, it was just like it all finally made sense.
Yeah.
And that's when I decided to check myself into a recovery center for it because my
Wow.
daughter had, I mean, it was, my daughter had, as a single parent, I was her role model. And I was like, and when you see it, you can't unsee
Right.
it, right? And,
Can't pretend it's not there then.
no. And because it made so much sense to me, it's like, oh, that's why this, and that's why this, and that's why I've been, it was just like, I've got to do something about it now because I've got a daughter who's watching me.
Yeah.
And I had read the books and I had gone to therapists and I had hired coaches. And it wasn't like I could do any of that. It was like I knew what I needed to do. And I hadn't known anyone that had done something like that. But because I wanted to show up for my daughter, she had gone through enough, right? And I was
Yeah.
just like, this has to end now, and I need to get help. Because it's not about him. It's not about my job. It's not about making more money. It's not about anything else. It's about me and fixing this, right? And so that's the year that I totally gave my life to Christ, because not only did I go through that whole experience, but when I got home from that experience, things just got worse. And I thought, how can they get worse when I just invested that much money, that much time, made such
An
an
effort.
investment?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm getting worse. And that's when I just hit my knees and I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm tapped out. I don't have any more ideas, And that's when everything started to shift for me. So I would say that I always believed and I always had great faith. But even when I was in that tumultuous relationship, I was very much a Christian. Like when I think of going to BSF every single week and doing the homework and getting in the word, and I still didn't know this was like an undercurrent, that this was kind of sabotaging me. And that's why I decided to start telling my story, because I'm like, if I didn't know, as this woman that kind of moved up the ranks in corporate America and raised my daughter, and I raised her in Wyoming, and if I didn't know, how many other women don't know,
Yep. And speaking of that, explain a little bit about what love addiction is and how you really came to recognize that in your life.
Well, love addiction is a form of codependency, which I think are more familiar with codependency, but it kind of comes out of the way you were raised, right? So it's like generational. And I think what most people think is if you're codependent, then you're probably attracted to someone that has an addiction, right? That's kind of the general rule. But codependency is when you're in unhealthy relationships, or maybe I should just say you're in an unhealthy relationship with yourself. And so it's almost like you look for outside circumstances to make you whole. So if I can give you a specific example, I think that if I made this much money, or if I drove this car, or if I dated this person, or once I got married, if I could be this package, I would finally be whole. And I don't know if I'm really giving you the clear definition of codependency or love addiction, but very, very clear sign of it is.